You're listening to a Mash Those Buttons podcast, brought to you ad-free with the support of our patrons. Visit mashthosebuttons.com or stay tuned after the show for more details.
And what is going on, guys? What is up? Of course, another episode of Double Tap. Of course, this is going to be 194. And of course, this is a Mash Those Buttons podcast dedicated to the FGCD. I'm your host, Jeremiah Mezaward, and I'm, of course, here with Gabriel, Static Gorilla, Medina. See, I did it right this time.
Finally. Did it right. It took you, what, 2 years?
Yeah, I know, right? It's kind of sad.
Nah, that's good. What's going on?
It seems like we're going to have some good things, some quick things. This is going to be a really hefty episode, obviously, because we're still kind of slightly quarantined, a little less quarantined, but it's still pretty problematic. So we're not going to, of course, have anything, you know, going out live to play offline or anything like that. But we still, of course, have people playing online and competing and doing well. And of course, thank you guys for tuning in and listening. And don't forget, if you're unfamiliar with this show is about fighting games. It's about the fighting game community. Usually sometimes we go off a little bit to a different place, but more or less, this is also for returning players or, you know, veterans or as well as new players. So by all means, strap in, sit down, you'll get to listen and enjoy yourself.
Yeah, agreed. And usually this will be the time where we will share feedback or shout outs. And if you have any feedback or shout outs to give us, let us know. Put it somewhere, Discord, wherever we go, and we'll explain where you can do that at the end of the show. So make sure to hang out. What do we got in this fighter's corner, my dude?
All right, so
unless I missed everything.
No, I mean, okay. You didn't miss anything.
Did I just fast forward to the end of the show? No.
I mean, you know what? It's like one of those things where it feels like it's not a lot of content. And we used to like always have like something every week where we're like, there's too much. We got to split it. But it's actually been kind of light lately. And we're going to kick it off, of course, with Mortal Kombat 11, which Mortal Kombat 11 has been just producing so much. So we currently have the Melina trailer. If you guys weren't able to see that, definitely you're going to want to check that out. She is brutal, man. She's never been any less. I couldn't even explain it, but this is like the first time I'm really like hearing her voice.
Okay.
And it sounds like she's like sick. All right. It sounds like she's a snake, you know?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I would agree. She's more creature-like in this one. But I don't know. Again, the best part about MK and to me is that they all have very different outfits and costumes. So the regular costume, I'm not the hugest fan of. And even like the face, the tongue thing is crazy. Like that's weird.
Oh yeah.
And the fact that she can like bite and all that. I did like MK, what is it? X. I did like MKX's Melina. It sort of like humanized her a little bit.
Same.
As if, I mean, yeah, it was weird that she had lips and all, but it was still like, she was definitely a bit more to herself and humanized, not so much creature-like. I don't know. That's just my preference. My preference is never great, but, you know.
So, being a MKX Melina player, she looks really, really good.
Oh, like, yeah, no, I won't take that away. She does look really good.
I like a lot of her concept this time around, and her animations are so damn smooth.
Yes.
I'm not even gonna lie. Just from the start, when she does the flip over her back, it looks so good. But I like that they made Melina feel like different. You know, she didn't like. I'm looking at all the characters, right? The way they play from the beginning to now, and she like they still embody what they used to be. But I feel like this is the first time I can say like, I really enjoy looking at somebody's content. Like, she looks dope.
Yeah.
Plus, her fatality is dope.
Because, okay, like, so she got to go fast.
Yes.
So, I did like that she keeps her what is it? It looks like a down three, the double kicks.
Yeah.
The double kick lows. I like those. I love that Shao Kahn outfit. However, I was very disappointed with she has a punch walk kind of thing with her fatal blow. But I was kind of disappointed with the fatal blow. It is a harken back to, I think, MK9, where she was doing the stabs to the liver. But then she goes to the back, bites, jumps up, throws a size, and then goes in front of you and rips your throat out. It's brutal looking, but it's kind of short for a fatal blow. If you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
Just a little short. I expected it to be a little bit more chompy chompy, but it's okay. And yeah, like you said, the fatality is very Sonic-esque.
I like that they still kept the ethereal style, mm-hmm. and they only like improved it. Now it looks like better. She seems like she never had that slide where she would like run and slide across.
Okay, yeah,
which is a.
So that they did explain that. I don't know if you know there is a combat cast out. I do have that attached there as well. Where is it? Yeah. So they did go into detail about each variation. It is a slide. It's like an unblockable. I think you'd have to like slide
Not unblockable.
I'm sorry. It is a low, and she's able to like trip you under, so unblockable. and then you enhance it, and then it does like this command grab thing on the ground. Afterwards, so let's go through that combat cast if you want, and also that end, sure. that the end of that looks kind of creepy of her trailer.
Yeah, so like what I like about her is like I said, I used to be a Melina player, so this is kind of like really comfortable to watch and also understand. I think her moveset is better than it was in MKX. Like I think it's a special move where she does the like spinning. The little like spinning where she holds out both of the daggers and she like spins on the ground.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see. Yeah, they show that at about 17 minutes in.
Yeah, that move is really good. Like she never had something like that before. She only had mostly approaches. So like you're either like balling in, you're doing forward 1-2 or 4-2-1 into like dagger or roll. And that was like the mix up. It was like that, or it was like 4-2-3 something. It was like either overhead or low into like the roll, like EX ball roll. Like there was a lot of like nonsense that she had to like commit hard to. But in this game, it seems like she has a lot more tools to not have to commit as hard. Cause like obviously these newer characters, like, you look at Rambo, they don't really have to hardcore commit. They can kind of do these like mid-screen moves, mm-hmm. or special moves that will like kind of keep them away a little bit. But she has a lot of crushing blows.
So one of them is just like Rambo, where she stays on the ground for a while. She grabs apparently like 10 seconds. She doesn't jump or block, something like that. Some sort of weird thing you have to, requirement that you have to get to. And when she grabs you, she'll do a crushing blow and rip your throat out. It's pretty nasty. Lots of damage. There's also a crushing blow with one of her sighs. I think that's in variation one. Merciless variation. It's more of a projectile focused and teleport kick focused. That's at about 22 minutes into their combat cast. You'll figure that out. But she seems very Melina-esque. I mean, you're not taking a lot away from the character. I tell you, nothing really impressed me in the sense of, like, makes me want to play a variation more than the other.
You know, it's mm-hmm. one of those things where, like, you know how we used to, like, play things for matchups and stuff like that? That's kind of the vibe I get from this, is, like, she's cool either one you pick. But at the end of the day, I still find myself like going, oh, am I going to play Savage Instinct version? Am I going to play Flesh Pits? Like, which one suits the scenario better, right? It's not even like this one's ultimately just better from the way it looks right now. And that's kind of that like vibe I'm getting from this. I'm not really getting like I have to play that version. Like the mm-hmm. Savage Instinct one, it's cool, but. Like I said, it seems like it's going to be one of those like matchup like based like combination, like, you know, choices that you go with for a variation, like unlike like maybe like Rambo or Rain, preferably Rain. Mm-hmm. Rain, you feel like you could probably play any one of those styles and you'll enjoy it. Yeah. But I look at Rambo and you're probably like, one of those are definitely just going to be better than the other. But with Melina, I'm just like, that's whatever fits the situation. I'm probably, if I was to play this character, again, I'd probably just play Flesh Pits. I think Flesh Pits fits my style, and that's what I'm familiar with, and that's what I like. I don't know how much I like the Killer Condom version.
That more looks more like a very read heavy punishing type thing, because you can punish the armor armor breaks and the get up rolls with those, and that's where you get your crushing blow from. It's like 30% of damage with that.
I mean, slide though, dude.
Slide is nuts.
You know, this is the very command grabby one, but like there's like some command grabs that put her far away, and there's some that put her close. Like, I love that. That's why I'm thinking like this is going to be a go-to one for most people, because she has restands. She has command grabs that put her in range of a lot of her kit. So I personally think competitive play is going to go this style, right? Killer Kanam or Khan. No, I'm just going to care Khan.
Yeah, Killer Khan. She's the new Khan. She's supposed to be the new heir to the throne. I don't know.
The Flesh Pits, I think, is what people are going to be familiar with. Most Melina players, I think most people are going to explore this Killer Khan version. That's the version I would like play competitively, but Flesh Pits is kind of like the one I would start with just because it seems like Melina the most. So yeah. I don't know. I mean,
so this last one has like the projectile on the floor type thing, and it has invisibility. However, the invisibility takes away one of your meters, one of your defensive meter. I don't know.
It's a little weird.
Yeah. I mean, a little bit of a transparency. I couldn't watch this. I had to watch it like 3 or 4 times because I found it kind of boring. And I also found I was watching it when it was like I was about to go to sleep. So that wasn't a good choice. So I watched it today. But then I was like, you know what? Let me see Maximilian's coverage of it, because he's going to actually pick out pieces that are important. So I just... It was like cut. It was like a 20-minute video. I'm like, all right, cool. I'll watch this, skip through it. But he sort of talked about how she's a high risk, high reward character. Everything that he was saying, they would say in the next 2 seconds. And then I was like, oh, geez. So yeah, it's a good video to watch. But like, yeah, I was watching Max's review of it, and I'm just like, oh, okay, that makes sense. You know, high risk, high reward, kind of my character. But then, you know, he was saying, oh, it's really hard to fight a high risk, high reward character because they're doing such of the crazy stuff that they're not supposed to. Sonic Fox. No.
I mean, it's very against Mortal Kombat style, to be honest. Like, it teaches you to commit, obviously, but still try to be safe. They have a lot of, usually we would have run cancels and other cancelable moves, but now it's kind of like, run canceling is not there, so you have to kind of commit to things.
She does.
And most
have
characters
a,
are safe.
She does have a run, though, correct? I forget which one it is. Which one it's in? I think it's in the Khan one, where she has like this run move.
Obviously she has a slide. Mm-hmm. She has a bunch of command grabs. Honestly, that's the only one that like interests me the most.
Yeah, the eye.
Obviously, I like Flesh Pitch just because. It's Melina, but this Khan one is probably the one that intrigues me the most. I just think that, once again, I feel like I do agree with you. I could see how this would have been boring. I don't think there was any excitement. I kind of do hate that the combat cast, they don't play against each other anymore, and I know it's because they're not in the studio together,
right?
But I would like them to have a build that they can play with each other, or use Parsec, man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, show me something. So I feel like that's maybe why combat cast has been pretty bland lately, is just due to the fact that we don't have those offset, you know, matches that we usually get to see sometimes. I definitely would have liked to see something like that, because then we could see more of the character. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
When we're seeing just the moves and and maybe a string or two here, you're like, oh, I know what's good here. I know what could be good. But when you're not able to, you know, see them in action, you have no idea what you're really doing. You're kind of coming up with, you know, your theory fighting, and that's really difficult. So, and for those who don't know what theory fighting is, it's exactly what it sounds like. It's where you come up with an idea of how you could use something, or how it could be done, or rather the other side of theory fighting is something you want, something that doesn't exist happens in the game. So that should happen in the game that you want. So yeah, these are kind of like part of theory fighting that's kind of hard to emulate once the character's accessible or the game's accessible. So yeah.
So at about a half.
No, I was just gonna say, yeah, I'm just a little like unsure.
So in the combat cast, about 30 minutes in, again, I'm all cool. Like, the flashiness of Mortal Kombat is so great. So I'm all the way at about 30 minutes or 46 seconds in. And yeah, they show the brutality and it kind of does this. What is it called? Oh, geez. Yeah, the brutality. Sorry. I was checking something out. The brutality. And it's kind of a harkens back to the original hold heavy kick and eat your opponent and then spit out the bones. Well, she eats your head instead and then she spits you up. So that's pretty cool. And she does the classic pose. So disgusting. But at the same time, they also... So last week, they showed fatality number 2 for Rambo. And the week before that, they showed fatality number 1 for Rain. Maybe they're saving Rain for when you get the game. I think it's coming next week sometime. But yeah, now we have Melina's friendship, which... she hops, skips, and jumps and twirls a bear around with her outfit on and then has a tea party with a katana and jade bear. It's quite cute. It reminds me of Buzz Lightyear in Toy Story without his arm.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. I'm Mrs. Nesbitt. Anyway. So after that, we're almost done here, but after that, they go into a lot of different things that they're going to look into for Mortal Kombat. This is also partially the reason why I went and watched Max's video, because I was like, all right, it's just all of them talking. Also, they need new mics. I know I have a mic here, but
look, these guys get paid they get paid a good amount. They could afford a damn mic.
Right. And yeah, so I mean, they don't have enough mics. It sounds like they're on a computer laptop, and it's just like, oh, man. It's really harsh, because it's like, I really want to try to focus and then do other things while I'm watching. But anyway, other than that, you've got Jackie, who's got a couple nerfs. Some things are a little bit more unsafe, such as her Superman punch, thankfully, finally, something else. They also buffed a little bit more of Raiden stuff, things like that. There will be patch notes that we will go over, of course. But they also decided, oh, man, I was going to write them down, but...
We'll save it for when we get Dre here and we do the collective part for it, because then it'll be a lot better, right? You know, we'll be able to go more in depth.
Yeah, no, I agree. So Melina's stuff is out, Melina Combat Cast. And also, I just saw on Twitter, literally as we started, 2 hours ago, they reported, Mortal Kombat Ultimate reports that on November 17th, Crossplay will become cross-generation for PlayStation and Xbox players. Toggle the feature in settings and play casual matches with players on PS5, 4, Xbox Series, and Xbox One, as well as designated online rooms. This feature will not be available on Switch or PC. Hmm. So cool. I already knew that they were having some, but now this is even more. You know?
Yeah.
All right. All right. So... what is next, my dude?
All right. So next, guys, is going to be, of course, Dragon Ball FighterZ.
Oh, boy.
You know, week 4 Nationals, because obviously I did get to watch a little bit of Spain this time.
Hey, there
up.
We go.
I was up. I was
España.
Up. I clicked it on, and then I clicked it right off. No, I had things to do, but I did watch a little bit. So, of course, you know, we're still keeping the standings going, and, of course, in Japan... Goichi and Fenrich still just being unchecked, untested. They're still 4-0, still by a slighter margin compared to Kazunoko, but these three are just in the category of their own. I mean, BNBBN is like right behind BNBBN. Thank you. I'm going to spell it just how it is. BNB. All right. BN. I don't even know. BNB. That's all I see there. Yes. But no, he's right behind Kazunoko with that -1, and Kazunoko's ahead with that +11. Crazy. So still such a big gap.
That's crazy. You know, it's so funny. Like, you have this top 2 with 20 wins, and then third and 19 with 19 wins, and then fourth with 14 wins. He has more losses than his wins, but he's still in fourth. That's pretty amazing.
I don't know, man. I mean, it's so weird. I mean, obviously, granted, Goichi had a little bit more of a harder time fighting against Van, but you know, it was 5-3. I just personally still see these 5-1s, 5-0s, obviously being a motto, being closer to the bottom, way closer scores, which is going to impact and hurt their scores in the long run because they weren't able to like 5-0 anybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, look, it's clear top four Japan, right? Mm. I mean, that one fourth spot and fifth spot is very, very much doable. It's very changeable.
It can interchange quickly. So I get it now. All right. So obviously, Goichi, Fenrich, and Kazunoko, I don't think they can be caught up to just yet. Yeah. But also, I just noticed the note. It says first tiebreaker is personal matchup victories. The second tiebreaker is GD, which is game your score, pretty much. So I was looking at it, and B is up on Mado with negative 11 points, but he has one win over someone. So because he has one game win over someone, he's above Mado, even though Mado has more actual... I'm sorry, not game wins, match wins. Mado has game wins over B, but B has an actual match win over somebody.
So it evaluates as like it's heavily weighted towards you winning your matches, but you know they do this style in a lot of leagues
and Hearthstone.
Like it's based off of how many rounds you win, but it's also based off of whether you win the match or not.
Yeah,
you could lose all your matches and win all your rounds. Like win at least like, you know, one round per game. I guess how many games do they play? Three or is it two? Best of five or
yes, best of five.
Mm-hmm. So like five. That's a lot of matches you can still play. So. Mm-hmm. You know, you can even that out. You could definitely take a lot more points. But granted, if somebody has a win over you, does equivalent it to winning the game, like as a set, like right? You know, it's not even dropping one game. That's technically how it's looked at. So it takes precedence. So yeah, I mean, Mado can easily change this around if he can win like this next following week coming up, because they got four more weeks left.
Yeah, he's got the most wins with He has a lot of wins, just the most losses, actually.
Yeah, all he has to do is stick it out next week, win one, have B lose, and then guess what? He's above him.
If he gets to 3-4, he can get up to... Because, again, there's three more weeks left. If he gets to at least 3-4, he can still make it to top four. Anybody. It's still anybody's, I think. Except, I'm sorry, Matoy. I think it's a little rough.
Yeah, it's going to be rough. He would have to win all four and obviously hope the stars align that anybody above him falls behind drastically, which it's going to be hard to say that will. But we're just going to move on. I don't want to spend too much time on this, but obviously the kill stage sitting up there comfortably, 4-0. It's going to be hard. Somebody has to dethrone him if they want to really take that number one spot, but... You could see right there, because this week and last week, Double L taking the hit, he's going to be right below Nitro Bros. And Nitro Bros, and I'm not even going to talk about Hook Game God, because look, Hook Game God is ahead, man. All right. Mm-hmm. He will probably end up pulling through depending who he plays next, if it's someone below Double L. So it's going to be pretty secured for Hook Game God, unless he has to go against, you know, maybe matching against like the Kill Sage or Nitro Bros or something like that. But Double L kind of in that warning zone, because Lord Knight is kind of picking it up. He's slow started, but following Lord Knight, Mamba Lamba, not far behind either. Same with Nokami. Even though, like you said earlier, you know, all it does is take maybe a game or two to win to really turn the tides, because the record matters more than just the game record. So that's a big part of it. A mini assassin struggling. I mean,
it is
what it is. I mean, you're playing some of the best of the best on the East Coast. So it is going to be a very tough look for him. I think if he could just kind of like, you know, maybe this next 4 weeks buckle down, even if he's winning the games 5-4, maybe 5-3, he might be able to pull through and something. If there can be some big upsets, maybe it changes. He's a
5-0 somebody.
Yes, he definitely does. He 100% needs to.
So West Coast, let's go to West Coast. Cloud805 still up at the top at 4-0. Jonathan 10-8, 3-1. Subatomic Sabres 3-1. And Apology Man 2-2. And the rest, of course, Reynald Supernoon, CNTQF, and Cuba way down there. However, did you see any of the West Coast at all?
I did not actually happen to stumble upon any.
So Scientify KOF lost to Subatomic Sabres 5-4. So, I mean, still putting a fight in there. Of course, let me see. Kuba putting a fight in there. Again, 5-4 against Cloud 805. That's really not bad. That's pretty impressive. However, I think that was the match which you've probably seen on Twitter of Ultra Instinct Goku and him just flying all over the place. I don't know if you saw that clip, but
no, I got to see it. I'll definitely check it out.
It made its way everywhere, and it's just like, yeah, Kuba and Cloud 805, Hook Gang God, Chris G, they all tweeted it out. They retweeted it. It was just a circus out there. But yeah, that's the order that's going in. I don't know. We still have to see the Reynald Scientify KOF play.
Yeah.
So Reynald is still the upset in there. He's going to sneak up in there.
I think that's going to be big. Mm-hmm. This match has been held off for some time. I think if Reynald wins, which seems like he, based on paper, he has the advantage. Mm-hmm. We clearly think that, you know, he's even had a week early in playing against Chris G, which he did very, very well against. Mm-hmm. I think that if Reynald wins this, will there be 5-1, 5-0? He's ahead. He's going to pass Apology Man. He's going to pass Subatomic Sabres.
Oh, yeah.
And actually, let's say he was the 5-1, right? Mm-hmm. He's ahead of all of them, except for Cloud 805.
Right.
He actually moves up into second place.
Yep.
So that match against Cinti KOF and Reynald is hyper Super important.
Yep.
Yeah. Like, this could make or break Reynald's spot right now because, like, a clean 5-0 puts him ahead of Jonathan Tenay. And on top of that, he has space now. He has room.
All those guys up there are still like watching him. Like, hey, Cloud is comfortable, but the other three, and I'm surprised Super Noon is so far down. All his matches are close.
You know what it is? Mm-hmm. I think it's one of those things where Super Noon is a type of player who does well. He could do well in sets, but it's not about the round count for him normally. And he's playing against Cloud has been a monster with just grinding. I haven't seen him compete that much, except for in online tournaments lately. I think he's only going out to maybe two events when Dragon Ball Online was Dragon Ball Offline was fire and people were just jumping the pit.
I remember he beat Chris G somewhere. I don't remember which one it was.
I think it was Northwest Majors.
Probably.
I don't know. But he hasn't really been going to that many tournaments. Mm-hmm. So this guy is a lab monster. He's an online warrior.
Oh, but he was in New York for a while. Roots.
Wait, so what's it?
I don't know. I just know that, it's... yeah. It is what it is, but he's down there. I'm surprised. Other than that, France, you got Wawa, of course, in the lead. And then Gila, who I've never heard of, putting in work. Vegito, Bardock, Yamcha, 4-0. That's something to look into, especially number three, Kaiden, with some cooler action. Keflin Cooler, that's actually my team, and Android 18. Yasha, Kane, Noka, Kasuga, and Silverblade Z, unfortunately, down at the bottoms. But it looks like it's going to be quite a strong work over in France. Let's get through this real quickly. You said you saw some of Spain?
Yeah, I did see some of Spain. Just a little.
So we got Jen is God in first.
He's really good, man. Oh, okay. He's really good. Mm-hmm. You know what it is? It's hard to tell if the character is carrying him.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think so.
Okay.
It's a weird team. I'm telling you now, it's a weird damn team.
It is. Ultra Instinct, Goku, Majin Buu, and Yamcha. We're talking about Fat Buu.
Oh, yeah. He'll definitely make you want to watch more. That's all I can say. I'm not going to ruin it for anybody. If you guys didn't get to see it, just go watch his match against Gamba. I know Gamba's not at the top of the leaderboard, but trust me, Gamba's team is scary, right?
You know what else is scary?
Captain Ginyu's changes and everything.
You know what else is scary? Shanks got his first loss against Gropius. And Gropius is Jiren Beerus Broly player. And Shanks is very well known. Android 18, Ultra Instinct Goku, and Trunks.
Hey, man, look, that team is hard body. All right, I'm not even kidding you.
Yeah,
Beerus alone as a second space just makes everything so much more.
Oh, he's using a point. Oh, really? Beerus? Beerus? I'm sorry. I thought you said Beerus. Yeah.
No, no, Beerus. I thought I heard Jiren. It makes the team so much scarier because he tracks you, he can lock on, and create such a good scenario for Jiren. And not only that, he has an anchor Brawly, so if he hits you, you're probably going to die.
Yeah,
so
you're probably going to get tossed like
T-Hawk. This team is very explosive. It's hard for Android 18 to fight this in neutral. Yeah. But, hands down, I still think that, you know, Shinx has one of the better Android 18s in the world.
Of course.
Hard to say if it's the best right now, because obviously we got to get everybody in a room and see everybody play again. But
it's just crazy. Like, any of these can switch off the dime. As you saw, Shinx immediately taken down a couple spots. So round robin is no joke when it's in top four. That can be anybody's.
I honestly think top five for maybe even, yeah, I would say top five. Yeah. Because I feel like Gamba's just getting started. His team is very strong. It's a very hard team to play. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is, like, people be like, well, he has Ultra Instinct and Kid Buu. Yeah, but Captain Ginyu brings a different level to difficulty with matching with the team, especially when knowing when you should be taking a body or not, or better yet, your set play with everything else. So I feel like he is playing a more difficult team, hands down. And I do want to see how he does faring later, because I think he's a good player. Like, obviously you're here, you're a good player, but
yeah,
that's not the point. The point is, I think that he has potential to be in that top four rank, maybe even third. We'll see. I mean, but like I said, this is probably going to be the most interesting one. I would say watch the Spain one. The Spain one has a lot of differences than a lot of the Japan, you know.
Yeah, more character loyalist, I think.
Like Northeast, Northwest. So,
so
definitely worth watching.
Yeah, more character loyalist in that region, I'm sure. So next, we want to go over to Tekken. It's been so long since we talked about Tekken.
All right.
But Tekken actually has today released their... Today we're recording on 11-9, November 9th, and they released the newest patch. People are playing into the patch. They're getting used to it. You're getting used to all their new moves. But Kunimitsu actually is released tomorrow. 11-10, she should be live in your latest Tekken 7 patch. What it does bring is a couple of more stages, her couple new outfits, and also some patches. I don't know. I mean, it literally came out today, the patch. We don't know who the winners or losers are. We'll definitely figure that out soon. Apparently, Negan already has a very plus jump kick of some sort, or it's just really good of something, or it launches. I don't know exactly. I just read some people were upset.
It's really good combo extender too.
Right. Okay. I read that people were like very excited about that, as well as new Tekken prowess feature available. I gotta just see through this. We're gonna figure more stuff out next week. We're gonna see if we can maybe. I don't know. I'm just thinking maybe get someone in for Tekken. Tell us more about it, because none of us are Tekken enthusiasts.
Pause.
Yes.
I am. I do remember. I do live with Tekken players.
Yes, you do.
So. I am actually looking forward to playing Kunimitsu tomorrow. Okay. I'm sure we're going to be switching off the Guilty Gear and turning on the Tekken. I'm excited to play this character. I think all her outfits are dope. I actually used to play her in Tekken Tag Tournament 2.
Oh,
so
man.
I'm pretty excited for this. I can't say what the patch notes are going to hold. I mean, obviously we have them to some extent, but like, you know, you never know until you start playing it, right?
Right.
We'll read it, and it always feels different. But what's going to be interesting is seeing how people fare with a character who is hella fast, has so much movement, and so many like animational moves. Like, so I'm noticing this new thing that they're doing with characters who could have like crazy animations, like Noctis did, where they're going to start showing off that Unreal Engine graphics. So, I am looking forward to the major balances with new moves coming in, which I don't know. This is the one game that I notice puts in new moves more than any other game next to Street Fighter.
Yeah.
So yeah. I want to see what these new health gauge changes are. I guess like I see them lighting up, but I'm not sure what that really means. But the biggest thing, rollback netcode. We could tell you're on Wi-Fi indicator. Guess what? You're getting effed now. All right. You're not getting away anymore. People are going to be fucking shadow banning you. Excuse my language, but they're going to be shadow banning you now. And you won't even know it because you're on Wi-Fi. Get off Wi-Fi. This is the time to prove that you're not a Wi-Fi player.
Did you see that Scrub Quotes actually put up a Steam review? Somebody got rid of their game because they couldn't get any matches anymore because they were on Wi-Fi. So they're like, nobody wants to play, and I only play online, and now I can't because every time they see me on Wi-Fi, they don't want to play me.
So then get off Wi-Fi. Get a cord.
And then some of the defenses, I actually can't, da 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 da. And it's like, bro, I got a 100 foot cord. I wired that thing all the way downstairs. And yes, if somebody trips over it, womp womp, but no.
That's your fault.
I love my parents. I love my grandma. No, I wired it. I put it against the wall, and then I put it under a door, and then I got the one with a bunch of different plugs, and I plugged it to my PS4 and one to my computer.
Ready. I'm going to save you guys some trouble. Look, if you play on Wi-Fi, let me teach you how to not play on Wi-Fi anymore. Let's say you have a cord that's... So, like, for instance, my room. You guys have obviously seen my room in the live shows. Mm-hmm. My room is a square. More rectangular, right? Now, here's the thing. I wrap it around the room. The 100-foot cable. 50-foot if you want. And guess what? I hook it up to the router, to my PC, or to my PS4. Done, right? Now, let's say you have it a little bit more complicated. Maybe, like, you know, Gabe's house. You have to, you know, pull it all the way downstairs.
Yep.
Hey, guess what? Staple gun, 100-foot cord.
Oh, I didn't even staple.
If you're allowed to.
I mean, I'm allowed to.
Yeah. But, you know, some way to keep it out of the way of people getting, you know, tripped up on it.
Under the carpet.
There you go. Yeah, you could do that. Right. But if you guys want something a little bit more fancy, something so that you can walk across the room.
Drill a hole?
No. Oh. I want you to go to Home Depot. There's these black, like, long, it's literally like a piece of rubber. It's going to be coiled up. You uncoil that thing. You lay it out. You flatten it. You have something sit on it, like, you know. No, put it under your bed for some time.
Oh, my goodness.
Like, in between the bed.
Is this a plug-and-play? Is this a plug-and-play segment?
No.
Okay.
It's a don't be on Wi-Fi segment. You lay that out, right? And then you buy your 100-foot cord. You put that thing inside of it, right? Because you could slide it inside of it. It stays fit. And guess what? You can walk over it. You know where they use these? In corporate buildings, guys. So you can use them too. They're accessible. And guess what? If you need a 100-foot cord, it's like $30 on all Amazon. Right. Just saying.
So free updates with this patch.
Stop eating your cheeseburgers.
At the end of it, oh my God. At the end of it, it says free updates, new moves, tech and prowess, updated UI, rank system renewal, online
playing. God Omega.
And also, again, Konamitsu and Vermilion Gates comes with this. If you can buy that season pass for. Also, character coming in early spring 2021.
Wait.
A character and a stage. Go on.
Dude, are we getting Pac-Man again? Because I just saw we get his Pac-Man theme arena stage.
Yeah.
For a limited time.
I mean, you got Bandai Namco. Remember, we had Mokujin Pac-Man in Street Fighter Cross Tekken. There's also some patch notes. Again, we will go over those patch notes next time. And Season 4 is here. Just an announcement. I was playing it earlier today. I liked what I saw because I don't know the difference because I'm just that way. we have so much in this Fighter's Corner. This is the last thing. What are you going to say?
I was just going to say, I think, for the record, I might start playing Tekken, like, officially.
Oh, man.
I mean, Konamitsu, if she's as good as I think she is going to be, maybe. Yeah. We'll see. But all I'm going to say is, if this is any time to be playing Tekken, this is it. This is the time. Like, as Tasty Steve would say, y'all better get out there. You don't understand. You don't understand? Right now. It's the moment.
You good? You good, Steve? You ready?
It's the moment.
You coming back?
Yeah.
All right, cool.
I'm good.
So, Street Fighter 5,
I'm good.
CPT China actually took place this weekend. I caught a glimpse of it. I was, I think I had woken up and they were just finishing up and I had just missed it. But I went, rewinded it a little bit just to see what was happening. And the winner actually was Jiwa. I don't know if you remember Dark Jiwa.
Yes.
He used to be Nakali and then he went to Akuma. Now he's Akuma Poison. He won. However, top three was VXBAO. They're both from the same team. Alus, A-L-U-S, VXBAO, VixBao. And then A-L-U-S, third place was, third place was A-L-U-S's own Kiki Kwikwi, Q-I-U. I don't know, QQ. Yeah. Maybe it's QQ. I don't know. However, they both use Urien. Funny enough, they both used Urien. VXBAO won. Those matches were cool. But Jiwa took it really hard to VXBao. Like, Bao used M. Bison, and Jiwa just eliminated. Like, try to look for the match in Grand Finals, it's really hard to find because it was that much of a steamroll.
You know what it is? Like, what is it? So... It's interesting to see when people who are teammates play each other. Because, like, he really kind of didn't want to run the Urien, and you could tell. It's so weird when somebody doesn't do that, and they run, like... So him running Bison, I almost want to say, like...
He must have known something about Akuma.
Yeah, you know Akuma, how many... You want to be like, oh, that's a bad idea, dude. Just just run your, run your ish. But you're right. No. These guys play. I'm sure they know how each other work. So
I think the other shock that I had, though, when I was looking through like top 16, top 20, whatever, top 16 to look for who else I might have known, because I didn't know any of these names. And then I go to top 16 and Zhao Hai was only top 16 and lost to a Cody Ben Whisper who beat him 2-0. I'm like, hey, what? That's Zhao Hai. That's like the guy that took the throw. You know what I'm saying?
Guess what? Ben whispered some sweet subtleties as he told him go home.
He must have said bingo a little too much in his ear, you know?
I mean, you know, look, we hold a lot of these players at such a high standard. We need to remember that they're human, you know? Yeah, everybody's beatable on any given day.
It's also online. I don't know what happened with their online stuff. I didn't see any problems with the Grand Finals match. But I just thought that was very weird. I was very unexpected to see Zhao Hai low. Say so low, but at least not in top 8.
Well, remember, Zhao Hai always had that issue of never being able to... How can I put it? Like, every tournament we watched him mostly, he always struggled to finish. Sometimes get into top 8. Sometimes he would struggle to win the tournament. Or he had struggled to get back into Grand Finals. We've seen that Zhao Hai before. I mean... Whether offline or online is playing a part, which I think online, playing at home is playing a big part, especially with someone who's a veteran now at this point who can, visually see when somebody is frustrated or understand that it's harder online. Like, people have a stronger resilience of getting completely, thrown off their game. So, like, I do believe Zhao Hai is a very phenomenal player that could easily make this top 8. But with the whole, the landscape right now where Street Fighter isn't the most hot thing because, you have all these other games with rollback, you got Guilty Gear, you got KOF 2002. I'm pretty sure he's been playing more of that, which we've seen matches of his. So, you know what? I'm not mad that he got, that he didn't make it into top 8 or top 16, Well, he was in top 16, right? No?
He's in top 16, at least.
Yeah. I'm not upset about that. I just look at it as today just wasn't his day, and he was more fixed. He wasn't as focused. Maybe he did well. I mean, top 16 is no feat. You know what I mean? Like, against most players. So I definitely think it's a rise of a new player rise. Where you have new faces, new players. Online is giving more accessibility, so now he has to play people that he probably normally wouldn't play offline all the time. So, or maybe they do play offline a lot, and now they just know. I mean, it's one of those things. It could be anything, But, still, out of all the people we would know, we expect Zhao Hai to at least get top 8. You're not wrong.
Right. I mean, it's just funny. Sometimes you see Zhao Hai, and you're like, how old is he? And that dude's been playing video games for a long time. I don't know. He doesn't age at all.
He looks like he's like 23, man.
Yeah.
Sometimes like 19. Some days, depending on the day, he could either look 19 or he could look like 23, 25. I'm like, all right.
Yeah, but I think what you're getting at is from when he lost to Fujimura at CEO, where he kept taking the throw. I think that's where you're getting it, where you're like, he never makes it to the top. He has made it to the top. He's made it very far. Yes. Like, he's scary, but also Fujimura is even more scary. Like,
yeah.
Man, that demoralizing loss. Holy cow, in that ring. I wasn't there for just, that CEO, but yeah.
It's just one of those things where we always saw... It's like watching Fudo always come close to winning.
I lied. I was at that CEO.
It's like Fudo coming close and always getting that one, I think it was like second.
Oh yeah, Fudo's got second place everywhere.
So much. Mm-hmm. But Xiaohai has kind of that issue too, where like he's always coming up short where it matters. And then, you know, look, hey, still a phenomenal player. Still could easily win. Could be his day, could not be his day. But, you know, we kind of are used to expecting Xiaohai to be in top eight and to kind of cause a ruckus. But
All right.
With that being said, that's so, gonna be the end.
That was the longest corner break that we've ever had. But
it's been a minute.
Yeah, we're gonna sit into the randoms of the FGC. Again, we're gonna start up with a couple of things. Meza, what have you found that is so random that you have to bring to my attention today? Oh.
Okay. I have so many things, guys. So if you guys don't know, GG Accent Core Plus R is right now the hottest game on the market.
It actually is.
Yep. if you are afraid to pay $15 to get it, Green Man Gaming has it right now for $3, 80% off. I know people are like, oh, is this site safe? Oh, should I? Yes, it's safe. Green Man Gaming is fine. All right. Go get your copy, man. Just there's no reason not to have it on Steam. Go get it. Play with everybody. Rollback net code. Worth it, right? Now, not only that, at greenmangaming.com, you can also check out getting BB Tag Special Edition for $25. That's the full thing. Everybody, transition from PS4. Go play on Steam. Appreciate it. Thanks. Our Crown of Heart 3, Love Max 6 Star. If you've always been a part of that anime series and you really wanted to get it for cheap, because it's still too expensive for some reason, $20. Go get it. And if you are feeling yourself and you're really enjoying Guilty Gear, guess what? Go try out the old Guilty Gear for what? $3? Wait,
old?
Oh, no, yeah, the original Guilty
Gear. You already mentioned that.
No, the original Guilty Gear is $2.
Oh yeah.
Original.
There was a bundle that was happening out. The Missing Link one?
Yeah. Well, I mean Green Gaming, you know, Green Man Gaming is bringing more stuff back out. But they have a bunch of other fighting games up there for sale, guys. Go check it out. I'm sure you'll find something to your liking. But not only that, if you are on this Guilty Gear hype, like most people are, including myself and including Gabe, go check out the... And you want to know some of the story, right? You know, you're like, oh, man, what the hell happened in Sign? I'm really excited for a Strive. I don't know or understand what we're going to be expecting. Go on over to Arc System Works and check out their Guilty Gear Excerpt Sign Story Mode. They actually do it all the chapters from chapter 1 all the way to chapter 10. And these things are like 15 to 30 plus minutes sometimes. Definitely go check it out. It's worth it. You'll get to understand the story a little bit more. And you might see some tying in with Strive in the future when you're ready to go play that game.
Snore.
That was a lot.
Listen, I'm down for Guilty Gear Story, but I'd rather play a little bit more of Guilty Gear Story. Because when I was trying to get through this, I could not. When I was actually playing the game, I just wanted to play the game. And even when I play Reload and I put story mode on, that's a little bit more interesting because you have to, there's different paths that you can at least unlock.
True.
Yeah.
True.
Like you have to do timeout in order to keep going, and you wouldn't know that. Like, I remember my friend asked me in high school, yo, I'm playing this game Guilty Gear. How do I get that third ending for Soul? And I'm like, oh, I figured it out online. You got to do timeout mode. He's like, what? Timeout? That's weird.
Yeah, because if you think about it, not everything's about killing the other character, beating them up. You got to, like, think of the scenario. Like, am I supposed to?
Or destroy them, too.
Yeah. That's dope. So, if you guys are interested, go check that out. I only say that if you don't have the game, obviously, and you can't play it. Because I personally, like, obviously, if you are a fan of Injustice series, we've played the Injustice 1 and 2 game, so you could see a story there. But there's some stuff from the comics that you can go watch and read, too. So, you know, I kind of say this is kind of like the same concept. But still staying on that whole, you know, that whole Guilty Gear slash some other things vibe, Arc System Works vibe, Arc Revo Champions. I know we didn't get to talk about this last time. But we want to kind of give them a shout out because these guys put in the hard work. And we did talk with Diaphone originally about this tournament. and you know how Arc Reaver was gonna pan out. Yeah, so Blaze Blue tag battle champions for Midwest Regional is NCG Marvin Pie. Shout outs to him because I actually love his team because he plays my team. Southeast Regional is Yuri. Shout outs to Yuri. Yuri's a phenomenal player. Northeast Regional is Tempest NYC. Kind of slightly expected. I mean, amongst many other great players, Tempest puts in work. West Regional, Yo Fave Scrub. Yo Fave Scrub is actually pretty damn good, guys. So moving on to the other side is Grand Blue Fantasy Versus. And keep in mind, guys, these guys are going to be representing each region and competing in, I believe, an overall, like kind of like EVO-style tournament. So expect for more of that. The champions for Grand Blue Versus is Midwest Regional is T-Bola. T-Bola being a great player, too. Southeast Regional, King John. Have not heard of him, but hey, kudos to you, man. Northeast Regional, again, Tempest NYC. Wow. You know, look, two-time. All right, two-time. And then, of course, West Regional, 2D Mage. 2D Mage.
What? That there, totally says really 2D well. McGee.
Is it McGee?
It looks like, 2D McGee.
Yes, 2D McGee.
You're I'm going to call him 2D McGee.
Now you're right. It's kicking it out there with West Regionals. So shout outs to all the Arc Revo champions. Hope to see you guys all play against each other, smash each other's heads in. It's going to be enjoyable for, you know, quite some time. All right. What's this you got here?
So Fire Pro Wrestling is on sale. Now, I don't know if you're into wrestling games. If you were into No Mercy, WrestleMania 2000 way back in the day, now technically those are fighting games in a sense, but Fire Pro Wrestling is definitely what some of my FGC homies will call a fighting game. Apparently they can create their own characters. I think the greatest grappling game returns to take on the world. Customize every aspect of the match from your wrestler to the ring itself in your fight for the championship belt. So you can be Kenny Omega. You can make all of your dream matches come true. Undertakers versus your, I don't know, whoever. Undertaker versus Sting, finally. You know? Anyway, Fire Pro Wrestling is now 80% off. So that is $6 on Steam. Go ahead and get it. Go try it out. My friends love it. I haven't tried it. Maybe I should. Maybe I'll stream it. Who knows? We'll see. So
I think I think it's hilarious when they start in the beginning. They're like, they're gonna grab each other, trailer, and then it just cuts to the game. It's so
look, you guys.
It's cheesy as hell, but I think it's worth it, guys.
Yeah, my friends are saying it's like playing No Mercy all over again.
Oh, don't tell me that. No Mercy was so awesome.
That's funny. That's fine. No, that's good.
All right, so this next one here, guys, this is an interesting one. I actually have to re-pull it back up. For Gabe, so he can actually see it. I mean,
no, I'm in the Discord to see what it said.
Okay, so Leonix was actually kind enough to drop a look. I love interesting game, guys. All right, I love anything that will intrigue me.
Okay, this does look
and throw me off. There's this game called Varian, and it is definitely a 3D like arena based fighting game. But it is kind of cool.
Yeah, it doesn't look bad.
Like, obviously, there's going to be a block button. I mean, there might be a dodge mechanic. But think of, like, I don't even know how to explain this to you guys. It's...
I don't either.
I don't even want to...
I think they know that camera angles are important.
Oh, yeah.
And that feels super important in this game. And it makes my eyes... It's really enticing to the eyes. Like,
yeah,
it's like they know camera work. And yeah, I took movement, a class on camera work. I know what that's about.
Like, the movement and the camera work looks really, really crisp. I think this is going to be a very interesting one to follow. It's by Polygonomicon. It's a high speed sword combat action game developed by one person in Unity. And it's planned to be showcased at various indie game events in 2021. If you guys want to go check that out, it is their Twitter account. I'm actually going to follow them right now. So that's pretty awesome. Is Poly, P-O-L-Y, Gon, G-O-N, Omicon, O-M-I-C-O-N. I don't know why I said it like that, but definitely go check them out. They're posting content all the time. It seems like this is going to be like, I guess, your own screen and you're fighting somebody. The main goal, they said the main goal is to make anime sword fight directly into a playable game, the jumping and flipping acrobatic type specifically. So we're going to get something a little bit more exaggerated, but cooler. And you could see, dude, some of this stuff is amazing. Like, phenomenal for one person to do all this work. He definitely kept it to an arena. I like the character design. I'm sorry. I could talk about this shit all day. I'm just being honest. Like, this game looks phenomenal. And their characters, like, they have an orc. They have some girl who's like a cheetah. They got a guy that's kind of like a lion. So I guess they're based kind of somewhat off of animals and mystical beings right now. He only has three characters from what we can see. But it seems like you're going to be able to also have action-packed fighting, either doing a 1v1 or other play styles, maybe like 1v4 or, you know, fighting against multiple enemies. So we could probably see it could be an action game, a one-on-one fighting game. I don't know. But thank you, Leonix, for this find. This is really cool. Even I don't always get to find some crazy weird stuff like this without looking through you guys, like talking to you guys. So kudos to you, man. This is a good pickup.
It's a good find. Yeah, I would agree. The movement is very fluid. It looks like it reminds me of Guilty Gear, what Guilty Gear was about to be. And then it became now as Strive. So I'm kind of liking this. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I know. All right. So with that being said, what is our next thing? Or is that it?
No, actually, oh, okay. I will be posing a question to you guys. I did not bring it up to Gabe. Okay. But, it is something that
I got scared.
It's something that has actually made me think quite some time, because obviously we've been in quarantine for
ever.
Months. Yeah, ever. I know, right? Ever. So me as someone who trains with people on a daily basis in different games, I'm curious from your guys' perspective, right? What, and we will post this in the Discord for you guys, when you are practicing with other players, do you find yourself asking more questions? And on top of that, or rather, let me just generalize it. When you play against other people that you train with all the time, do you, or even if it's people online, do you find yourself going, that's the person I want to continue training with and that's my rival? Or do you find yourself saying, I need to hit the training room and learn these things, like when you're training with them? It's a little bit much, but I'm going to ask it a little bit more according in Discord when I type it out for you guys. But I guess the basis of it is, when I'm training with, like, let's say one of my roommates here, there's times where we'll play like 20, 30, 40 matches, and then we'll stop and then we'll watch footage of other people playing and then learn the characters. Do you guys do that, or do you just prefer to keep playing till you get it right? What is the mentality you prefer when it comes to practicing a game? Do you prefer to just hit the lab and hope it all translates, or do you prefer to actually play in-game matches and let it translate that way? I know it kind of pertains a little bit to our previous on-air question, but this is more of a general Discord discussion. I like to know what everybody else thinks, because I'm a type of player, at least, that's very open-minded to learning different ways of growing, and I like to just know what the community does. So that is going to be a question we'll definitely talk about next week, and that I will re-bring up, and hopefully you guys will pose me some answers for the Discord.
So in other words, in a nutshell, what is your preferred method of
training?
Training, but also, yeah.
Training with a partner. Yeah. I would say with someone else. Yeah. Or do you prefer training alone? What do you prefer when you train? Or training with someone or not at
do
all? Even,
or also, do you prefer training with someone higher level than you? Equal level, or even lower level? Like, do you prefer even teaching? Because I can teach somebody, I'm not going to go into full detail right now, but I can teach someone the basics and then even learn more for myself. Or even relearn what I forgot.
Because I'll just say, because sometimes when you have to teach, you have to learn new things. So it's really interesting.
Yeah.
So I definitely know that route. But yeah, I want to know what you guys think, what you prefer as a training method. What's up?
Also, something that I noticed, and I don't know if a lot of people, those that are relearning Guilty Gear, Guilty Gear Accent Core, speaking of teaching people, if you go into training mode and you are using the special moves and you see, if you put input, this is very important, put on input display so that when you do a special move, you see a flash during the input display and you can actually see when you can do the blue Roman cancels. The Force Romans?
Oh, yeah. Love that, dude. So that's one of the dopest things.
I just figured that out when I was playing Reload about 2 months ago. When I was playing Reload 2 months ago, before, when on Steam, but I used to play that way back on Xbox original. I never noticed that because I wouldn't put input display on. I would just learn the character's moves and then move on. That's all I use training mode for.
Mm-hmm. I'm surprised that's something you just found out. Because you've been playing it a little bit longer than us lately, so I'm surprised.
I didn't find it out in Accent Core. I found it in Reload about 2 months ago. But then I found it in Accent Core again, and I was like, all right, this is awesome. And I'm using Eno, and I'm learning how to do all the Blue Roman cancels. It's amazing. Go ahead.
No, you're good. There actually is a video tutorial that want you guys to check out. There's a specific person. It's Guilty Bits.
Yes.
Yes. So, okay. Just type in Guilty Bits. I'm not going to... They're episodic, which is each character breakdown. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry to we're doing this after the question. Yeah. But guys, definitely worth... shout out to Guilty Bits. I will put this in the randoms. Yep. Guilty Bits does... Nouriel Tataki. Does these Guilty Bits episodic thing where if you go on YouTube, he goes through each and every character, functions in the games. Mm-hmm. The way he produces it for you guys, it makes it, it's like Dummies 101. 101 for dummies, you know? I am not a dummy. I've played Guilty Gear, Accent Core Plus, and all the previous ones before that. But guess what? We need a refresher course. Even my roommate did it too. So, and he's been hard grinding it and loves this game too and has played it.
And y'all still haven't played me, and I'm going to bust you up this week.
Well, we will see about that.
Yep.
But yeah, guys, definitely check it out. It is worth your time. Yeah. Even if you're an experienced player and you've been playing Guilty Gear Revelator, you're going to find there's differences drastically. And it's going to be easier to pick up knowing these things. We just played Revelator today. I literally almost said I hate this game.
Yeah, no, I can.
Because Dizzy doesn't play the same. But,
I don't like how Dizzy plays in Accent Core, to be honest.
Really? She's so busted in Accent Core. Oh my God, I love her. No.
I don't like her approach. Sorry.
No, you're good.
Mm-hmm.
All right. But yeah, just check out Guilty Bits, guys. You'll really enjoy it. It'll teach you a lot. But that's going to be it for today.
I agree. All right, cool. Yeah. So, you got that. Do you want to finish the question first or go ahead and
No, I'll repost all right. It in the so once again, guys, how do you like to learn? Tell us what benefits you from learning and how. Let us know if you prefer to train with someone, teach somebody, or train alone, and what drives you to, keep training that way. So that is something we definitely want to hear from you guys. But we just want to say thank you guys for listening. Truly appreciate it. Yes. And this is unfortunately the end of the show, but you can always follow us on Double Tap FGC on Twitter, where you guys can always get up to date. You can kick us some messages and anything you like. But you can also find me at Meza FGC on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Instagram if you want to talk to me more personally. And of course, Gabe, where can they find you?
Of course, on Twitter and Instagram and Twitch as @StaticGorilla. I actually did drop a video on YouTube this weekend from one of the Marvel tournaments that I participated in. Of course, I went 0-2. Little spoilers there. But there's a couple hype matches that I would really like to share with you guys.
And guys, don't forget, you can also follow Mash Those Buttons at the Mash Network. You can follow us also... and talk to us personally in the Discord where you can chat it out with other people. Don't forget, just discord.me/mashthosebuttons and definitely check out the community. And if you want to answer the community question in there, you can go there too. And guys, please, by all means, send us comments, send us questions. If you want to really get to know more about the community or just know more about us, by all means, shoot us a message. on any platform, which you could obviously check us out on Spotify, iTunes, you know, SoundCloud, all the above, all the above, all
wherever
the above.
You find your favorite podcast, we will probably be there.
And guys, don't forget the most important thing. Make sure you share. Sharing is caring. Mm-hmm. You know, you got taught it in kindergarten. Don't stop doing it. So share it to your parents, share it to your mom, share it to your best friend, share it to someone you might not even know could be interested in fighting games or just the community itself. And we would really appreciate that. Don't forget, guys, make sure you rate and review on the podcast platform so that you can, you know, keep us at the top, where I still believe we're pretty damn high up there. So and we'll find that out for you guys next time and let you know. But definitely, guys, stay tuned afterwards to hear about the other shows. And that is going to be it for me.
That is it. All right. R.I.P. Trebek. I just couldn't help it, you know? And he doesn't have any sign off. So it's just usually like, you have a great night. You know, all of that.
May you keep your gears turning.
Oh, geez. The wheel of fate is turning. That's Blaze Blue. Have a good one, guys. Thank you.
Night.
Thanks for listening to a Mash Those Buttons production. If you enjoyed the show, you should check out mashthosebuttons.com and see if any of our other shows might interest you. All of our shows are available on your podcast platform of choice like Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more. If you enjoy our content, you can help support Mash Those Buttons by becoming a patron at patreon.com/mashthosebuttons, where you can receive Patreon bonuses for as little as $1 a month. You can connect with Mash Those Buttons at twitter.com/themashnetwork, facebook.com/mashthosebuttons, or join our Discord at mash.gg/discord.